Well, let's take our Bibles. Yours might be an electronic device like mine. Could be leather bound. Either way, let's take our Bibles. Let's hold them up and let's say the words that are up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. So let's pray today just before we get into the message. Father, I today pray over these that are hearing this message, over this church. Lord, I pray over this message that you've placed in my heart. And Lord, my desire this morning is that you would bring to pass the words that we have just spoken. That as we hear your word, it will bring about change in our life. It will empower, strengthen, and bless us. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me deliver this message in such a way that you're able to do just that with every heart and in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I also want to welcome those of you that are watching online. And if you happen to be watching on Facebook Live, could you just share it? That's a good way to invite somebody to, excuse me, invite somebody to church or just share the word of God. Get it out there. And so we're going to continue today in a series that we've entitled The Spirit-Filled Life. And really, in this series, I'm encouraging you to look at the way you're living life. Are you approaching life full of the Spirit of God? Are you living a Spirit-filled life? How many of you know a full bank account is better than a low one? Or y'all, come on. How many of you know a full glass of, now if you're Southern, sweet tea, or I like half and half, a full glass. I don't like to go to those places and they give you tea. I always say light ice, because then they give you a drink and there's more ice in there than drink. So, you know, sorry, that was just a little personal thing I needed to get out of it. But come on, how many know full is good? So we want to live a Spirit-filled life. And today, I want to continue this series with a message simply entitled Hope-Filled. And so go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading with verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, Paul here is writing to the church there in Ephesus, like he would write to the church here in Tampa, to Faith Life. And he is saying, I want those of you who already follow Jesus, who know Jesus, who are living for him, I want to encourage you to live filled with the Spirit of God. Let me define for you that word filled. It means to make full, to fill up, to furnish or supply liberally, to cause to abound. And you know, I believe that that definition also describes what our lives will be like if we live filled with God's Spirit. We will abound. We will also be liberal towards others. We will be on the increase. God wants us to live life full. Now, we talked about this last week, and it's a great illustration. When we talk about living life full, full of God's Spirit, I think about y'all driving in your cars and how you drive. And we all know that some of us know exactly how far our car will go when it gets to the E. When that little needle is on the E, you know just how many miles you can go before you have to go to the gas station. And sometimes you push it. Don't we do that spiritually sometimes? Sometimes we push it. We give out. We're working and working and going and doing. And we know that we need some time with the Lord. We know that we're not filled with His Spirit. We know we're living low. So I want to encourage you today to make sure you live life filled with God's Spirit, full. Now, in this series, we've been teaching you how you can stay full. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. God gave us the gift of the Spirit of God. And he is there to be our helper. He's called a helper, a comforter, a counselor, a teacher. And as we let the Holy Spirit and as we trust the Spirit of God to fulfill his role in our life, as we're simply just mindful of him, we will stay full. Now, we saw this the first week, and that is joy is full. In other words, one of the ways that you know that you're living life filled with the Spirit of God is you're joyful. And where did that joy come from? That joy came from knowing truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell us the truth about Jesus, who Jesus is, and what we have in Christ. And when we learn those truths set us free, and freedom brings joy. We just celebrated the freedom of our nation. And what did we do? It was a joyous celebration. Come on. Freedom brings joy. Joy is full. Last week we saw this truth is full. And I encourage you, if you did not hear that message last week on the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth and living your life filled with truth, go out to our website, download the podcast, watch the video. We need truth in the season that we're living in. We need to be founded in truth. But to live a Spirit-filled life is to live a life that is filled with truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. A lot of spirits of deception going on right now. But I'm praying for the church because it's mixed. There's so many things right now that are tainted, and there's some good in this and a little good in that, and you're kind if you do this and you're unkind if you don't do that, and you're good if you do this and you're not, you're mean if you say that. And come on, we need just the Spirit of truth, and we need to love everybody. Yes. Now, moving right along. Today I want to talk about hope. Because one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life is to fill us with hope. So go with me if you will. Let's look at this role of the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Again, Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here we see that overflowing with confident hope describes a Spirit-filled life. Let me say that again. To be overflowing with confident hope describes a Spirit-filled life. Even if I did spell spirit wrong. I see it up there. Did I spell? A Spirit-filled life. Well, you know what I mean. Come on, a Spirit-filled life. Now, overflowing with hope. What is hope? Let's define biblical hope. Some people say, well, I'm just a hoping and a praying. That's not biblical hope. Hope is, it comes from the Greek word elps. It means expectation of good, expectation of a favorable outcome. Hope also, this is Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says, hope is a desire of something good with an expectation of obtaining it, a confident expectation of good. I love what one translation says about hope. It says it's the happy anticipation of good. Come on, that's biblical hope. That's the way, even in this season right now, that God wants his people to live. He wants us to be filled with hope through the power, say power, Come on. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a help the Holy Spirit is. He is our helper, that even right now, when things don't look so good, that we can have a confident expectation of things working out for good in our lives. We need to be overflowing with hope. The world needs some hope. And where are they going to get it from? It should overflow from the church. Now, what we learn from these definitions too is hope is all about our expectations. Did you get that? Hope is all about our expectations. What are you expecting? You know, when a woman is pregnant with child, what do we say? We say she is expecting. Now listen, this biblical hope that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit is not wishful thinking. Well, I hope so. Well, I hope. And you can tell by the way they're saying it, they do not have a confident expectation of good. Listen, God wants us to be confident that it's going to turn out good for us, for our family. And but how does that happen? It doesn't just happen. And listen, we are being bombarded and even overwhelmed with so much information and so much news, and they highlight the bad and not the good. Now listen, we don't deny that things are rough. Faith doesn't deny things, but faith also brings the good news. Now we know this. When a woman is expecting, that baby shows up. Yeah. Yeah, you never met a woman 2 years later? Well, what happened? Well, the baby never came. Listen, when we have biblical hope, what we are hoping for will come to pass. It is not wishful thinking, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit that has created in us godly expectations that line up with the promises of God, that line up with His plan for our lives. Some of your hopes may be different than my hopes. They both are biblical, but because of God's plan for my life, some of my hopes may be specific to me. Some of the desires that God has put in my heart concerning His will for my life may be different from the desires that you have, but the source is still the same, and that is you're expecting. Come on, and I'm expecting. How many of you are expecting this morning? That means the baby is coming. Come on. Now listen, not only is hope about expectation, but hope is an attitude changer. You see, you know when the Holy Spirit is creating hope in you, because all of a sudden your attitude toward life changes. There's a story told about a young boy, 9 years old, that was burned badly, and he was in the hospital and gone through a lot of surgeries. And while he was better, he wasn't doing any better. You know what I mean? And they were really concerned about him. Well, at the same time this was going on, obviously he was going to be in the hospital for a while. So the school system had an agreement with the hospital where they would send teachers in to help students who were going to be in the hospital for a long time. So a young teacher shows up in this young boy's room. He wasn't responding to her too much, and really she didn't realize just how badly burned he was, and so she only spent a moment in there and just introduced herself and said, "Listen, I've talked to your teacher, and your teacher would really like for you to stay up on your studies, so we're going to be taking your studies, and I won't spend long with you, maybe just an hour, depending on how much you could do, but I'll be by next week, and we'll begin with your studies." She left the room. came back in a week. When she came back in a week, she is walking toward the young boy's room, and his nurse starts walking toward her with a big smile on her face. And the nurse said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." He was not responding. We were really worried about him, but after you left last week, he started eating, he started talking, and he is doing so much better. I don't know what you said, but thank you. And the teacher was a little confused and surprised. She said, "Thank you," and went in the room. She taught the boy the lesson, and he was responding so much better. She was so happy, and she went to leave, and then she turned around and went back to the young boy's bed. She said, "You know, the nurses told me that you're responding now, and I'm so glad, and your attitude is so different, and they said it happened after I left last week." She said, "Was it something I said? I'm just really curious." And he said, "Well, I figured if I was going to die, they wouldn't send somebody to teach me English." Come on, hope. Changed his whole attitude. Now, if that young boy's attitude could be changed from something so natural and practical, today, I'm believing God's going to change your attitude by bringing you hope. And I'm going to give you some things today to be hopeful about, and I'm going to teach you how to tap into the power of hope that's on the inside of you. But hope is an attitude changer. We want to be filled with hope. And hope affects our behavior, affect the behavior of that little boy. Think about the mom who's pregnant and expecting. It changes her behavior. She was never shopping in the kids' clothes before, in the infants. Now she's buying cribs. She's setting up a room. Come on, hope affects our behavior. You act differently. That's why God wants us to live a spirit-filled life. Hope affects our behavior. We will respond to people differently. Listen, mama, if you're believing, if the Holy Spirit has created in you a hope about your children serving Jesus, then you will respond to them differently if you allow the Holy Spirit to create that hope in you. And when you're beginning to lose hope, say, "Holy Spirit, come on, you're the Spirit of hope. I trust you, God. Come on, fill me with hope today. I am confident. I have a confident expectation of seeing something good in my family, in my community, in our nation." We are hope-filled. Let's talk about, though, tapping into that power of hope. I love how it says in Romans 15:13, "Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." That word power there is defined as strength, ability. It's inherent power, a power residing in a thing. Now listen, by virtue of its nature. Listen, because you've been born again, because Christ is living in you, your nature has changed. Now there is power residing on the inside of you, strength, ability, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you wants to fill you with hope. Wow. Hope is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Here's my question. Are you overflowing with confident hope today? I remember when I went to Peru, I was a young woman, a young teacher. I was going far away from home. I was single at the time, and I didn't know the missionaries that I was going to work with. I didn't know the language that they spoke. Spanish, didn't know the language of the country that I was going to. And I was staying in a little room when I arrived there that was just, you know, basically it was my bedroom with a little desk and a little shower. And it had a little light. The ceiling hadn't even been painted. The walls had been painted. It was concrete, but the ceiling hadn't been painted, so it's just concrete. And then it had a little string and a little bulb. And I was sitting at this desk. I had arrived there, long trip over. I had, you know, been introduced to some of the people there, and I was going to be there a year teaching students. And, you know, I was missing my family a little bit, and I could tell the enemy was trying to get me a little bit depressed, like, what's this year going to look like? But as I sat there and I thought about the promise that God had made to me and how I was obeying the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden hope just rose. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, filling us with hope. And all of a sudden, I had a confident expectation that this was going to be a good year. In fact, I just finally said to the Lord, Lord, I couldn't get depressed if I tried right now. I'm just so full of hope. I'm so hopeful about how this year is going to turn out. Yes, I missed my family. Yes, I'm far away from home. And I'll tell you something funny. You know, this is back, you know, years ago before 9/11. And, you know, obviously there's always been some talk of terrorist activity. But back then, you know, it wasn't as prominent as it is now. And I remember when they picked me up, it was this little village that we were staying in. And we're driving to where we're going to stay. Or, you know, they're dropping me off to the place where I was going to stay. And I kept hearing them talking about these terraces. And so there were mountains, and on these mountains were these little houses. So I thought they were talking about all the terraces. You know, the little porches, the terraces. And then later on, they said something about one of them coming down. I said, you mean those terraces, they could fall and hurt people? And they said, terrorists are up there. Not terraces, not porches. People with guns. Oh, terrorists. But listen, I had hope. I had a confident expectation. I was going to turn out well for me, and here I am. The terrace or the terraces, neither one of them got me. So that was good. Now listen, let's talk about tapping into this power. And I want to just give you just a couple of things, a couple of ways that you can allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with hope. First and foremost, hope in God. Make sure that you know the source of hope and go to God as the source of hope. Listen to Psalm 65:5. In fact, I'm going to read several scriptures to you here quickly. It says, You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on the distant seas. You're the hope of everyone, God. How about Matthew 12:21, speaking about Jesus? It says, and his name will be the hope of all the world. 1 Timothy 1:1, this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. Come on, you gotta know the source of hope. And then Psalm 42:11, my spirit, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset deep down inside me? Put your hope in God. Once again, I will have reason to praise him. He is my Savior and my God. You see, if you want to be filled, if you want to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and make sure that you're looking to God as the source of your hope. In fact, I could say this, hope begins with an awareness of God. He is the God of hope. Listen, trusting God allows the Holy Spirit to create expectations within us that line up with his plan for us. Wow. I remember this too. I remember being filled with expectation, filled with hope. I had a desire before I started the church. I had a desire to go out into ministry on my own. I started Jane Hillman Ministries at the time. I wanted to travel and minister in churches. And when I stepped out into that ministry, I have been working for another ministry for some time. And finally, they knew that I wanted to step out. And finally, we talked and they said, yeah, we believe it's time for you to step out. Now, I was stepping out to travel and minister in churches. So obviously my income and my, you know, what am I saying? The way I was going to provide for myself was I would go to churches and they would give me offerings and, you know, I'd take care of myself. And I had a home and a car and all those things. But I stepped out into ministry. And guess how many meetings that I had when I stepped out in ministry? No, more than that. Somebody said zero. I said more than that. One. That's more than zero. Yeah. Yeah. One, and the leader, in fact, I was working for Jim and Kathleen Caseman at the time, AFCM, Association of Faith Churches and Ministries, and they had all these pastors and churches under them. So Jim had even written a letter to all the pastors and had said, Jane's available. And guess how many pastors called me off of that letter? They even sent me back to say they got the letter. I had one respond to the letter and say no. And here I am. Yeah, that's terrible. But now listen, here I am stepping out and I'm going into ministry. I'm going to start traveling. I'm going to start going to churches and teaching. And I was telling everybody, I am starting Jane Hillman Ministries. I was getting everything ready. And people would ask, how many meetings do you have? And I'd say, one. I'd say, just one? I said, yeah, I've got one, and it's in South Dakota. And then I'd see somebody, and I'd be so excited. I said, did I tell you that I'm starting Jane Hillman Ministries? And they said, yeah. And I said, did I tell you about the meeting I have? Yeah, it's in South Dakota. But now, folks, I'm telling you, I was so filled with expectation. I remember somebody told me, you know, it's going to take you a good 5 years before churches really start inviting you and start paying your way. You know, you're going to have to just travel on your own. And I mean, all a lot of negative, and yet some was, you know, based on facts, you know, the way things had gone for other people. So I'm not being against them. But I'm going to tell you what, I never, within the first month after that one, I went to that one, then another one came in. I mean, no, all you need is just one every week. There's only one Sunday a week. One, just one more and one more and one more and one more. But you know what? I just stayed full. I couldn't afford to live on low right then. But the power of the Holy Spirit filled me with hope because I had put my hope in God. I didn't put it in statistics. I didn't put it in what somebody else said about me. One of my mentors, who's no longer a mentor, and you'll figure out why in just a minute, has said to me, well, Jane, you know, I don't think you're going to make it. I said, because, you know, it's pretty hard out there, and you got to have really an amazing teaching gift to make it out there. So what were you just telling me? And this was somebody that loved me, supposed to be for me. But you see, come on, my hope was in God. Oh, come on, some of you, you need to put your hope in God right now. Some of you have been hoping in people. You've been hoping in your business. You've been hoping in other things. Listen, but let's put our hope in God, and then the Holy Spirit will fill us with a confident expectation of good. I told y'all I had to preach on me. I warned you. Come on. Listen, I'm excited. Now, here's the... Go to the source of hope. The next thing is hope in His Word. Psalm 130, verse 5. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on Him. I've put my hope in His Word. How about Romans 15, 4? Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The Word of God will get your hopes up. Listen, how do you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to get you hope-filled, to make sure you stay full of hope? Get in the Word and give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Wow. Low level of Word, low hope. It's like you have this powerful engine in you, the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You've been born again. You've got the nature of God. But how many of you know even the most powerful engine needs some gasoline? So stop at the gas station. How about this scripture, Psalm 94, 19. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Wow. Why not get your hopes up? Come on, get your word level up, and the Holy Spirit will get your hopes up. A Spirit-filled life is a life filled with hope, a hope that is founded on or in God's word. Wow. Wow. Now here's the last thing I want to talk about today. Be faithful. Do you want to live hope-filled? Do you know the Bible says hope and faithfulness are companions? Maybe one of the reasons why you've lost hope is you've quit being faithful. Listen to Hebrews 6:11. It says, "We want each of you to be faithful to the very end. If you are, then what you hope for will fully happen." Mm. Want to stay filled with hope? Then be faithful. Faithfulness works along with hope. It is a friend and a companion of hope. Faithfulness. Maybe some of you, that's why you're hopeless, is because you've quit being faithful to God in some areas. Faithful to pray. Faithful to believe His word. Faithful to reach out to others. Faithful to come to church. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. Faithful to get online. Come on. Faithful. Think about this. It's easier to be faithful if you're hopeful. Come on, why do y'all go to work every week? Because you hope that Friday's coming. But now, can I tell you this? If you're not faithful to show up, they're not going to pay you. What you're hoping for isn't going to happen. Well, God says you need to be faithful. And if you're faithful, then what you hope for will come to pass. And let me close with this. I want to talk just a minute. I couldn't talk about hope without mentioning this. And that is our greatest hope. Let me take it to the book of Titus. And let's talk for just a moment about our greatest hope. Titus 2:13 says this. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Mm. Our greatest hope is that Jesus is coming. And not only that Jesus is coming, we are looking, those of us who are believers, we are looking forward to the rapture of the church when we'll be taken out of here. But then also, we are looking forward to the day that we come back to this earth. That we come back and Jesus begins to rule and reign, and He takes wrong things and He makes them right. He rules in justice and in peace. Come on, looking forward keeps us faithful. Listen, we're not home yet. I'm going to tell this story, but you need to have hope, and you can have hope because we believe Jesus is coming. And let me tell you something. I have a new fervor to win as many people to Jesus as I can, because Jesus is coming. Yeah. We're not home yet, but we can still live here and prosper and do well and lead people to Jesus because we have a hope, and the Holy Spirit will fill us with that hope that Jesus is coming, will fill us with that hope of heaven, will fill us with that hope when Jesus sets things right. There's a missionary family, and they had been on the mission field for quite a while, and they were in a very remote area and had lost contact with a lot of people, but they were coming home, and they sent word the best they could to the people that knew them to let them know they were coming home. But they weren't sure if people got the message or whatever, and they were just so glad to be back on an American soil. And I don't know if any of you have ever been. I know the aunts have been missionaries. I was a missionary. If you don't know what it's like to be in another country, listen, I thought, those people who don't want to live in America, go try another nation and you'll probably be back here quick. But this missionary family, husband and wife, came down, and when the airplane landed in America, they were so excited. They got off the plane and they were kind of looking to see if anybody was there to greet them. Nobody was there to greet them. And so the wife, you know, she's a little disappointed, and she looked at the husband. She said, "You know what? I'm really disappointed that nobody's here to welcome us home." And her husband looked at her. He said, "We're not home. We're not home." He said, "Earth is just our temporary dwelling place." He said, "But when we really get home, we're going to be welcomed." Come on. Church, have we forgotten? Listen, we're not supposed to be that comfortable in this world. We're supposed to overcome, but this is not heaven. I think the church has gotten a little lazy, but this morning, I want you to be stirred up with hope, and I want you to remember our greatest hope, and I also want you to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with hope so that you can live the life that God has called you to live and win as many people to Jesus so then we can get out of this place. Oh, listen, aren't you thankful that the Spirit-filled life is a hope-filled life? Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out this service. Lord, I just pray right now. Holy Spirit, all precious Spirit of God, take the words that I've spoken today, your word that we have hope, that we have heard today, and Lord, create hope in every one of us. I pray that you would renew the hope of everyone who hears this message. And Jesus, I also pray today, if there's anyone listening to this message that has never put their hope in Christ, or maybe they've lost hope, Lord, that you would restore that hope to them. And Lord, if they don't know you, that you would draw them to you right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I want to give you an invitation this morning, whether you're here in this building or whether you're watching online. I want to invite you to come to Jesus. I want to invite those of you who may know Jesus, but this morning you would say, Pastor Jane, I need to have my relationship with Jesus restored. I would invite you to come back to Jesus today. Just hold that thought too. If that's you, we're going to pray with you in just a moment. But I also want to speak to those of you who may say today, I don't know Jesus. I'm not ready for eternity. I've never put my faith in him, but I want the kind of hope that you have, hope that is eternal hope. Can I pray with you right now? I want to pray with you. I want to invite you to pray with me. My husband's here. He's going to pray after me. You pray along with him. Whether you're coming back to Jesus or coming to him for the first time, we want to pray with you. Now, if you're here in this building and you're going to pray this prayer, we want to do something for you. Right now, if you're here, we're not going to ask you to come forward, not going to ask you to stand up, but you say, Pastor Jane, I'm praying this prayer this morning. I want you, when I get to three, just to lift up your hands, because our ushers just have a little book they want to put in your hand about what you're praying about today. Are you ready? Just real quickly here in the building. 1, 2, 3. Just slip up your hand. Say, Pastor Jane, I'm praying this morning. Listen, if you're online or if you're here in the building, would you pray this after us right now? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Restore me.
Restore me.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For making me new.
For making me new.
For saving me.
For saving me.
You are God's son.
You are God's son.
You died for my sins.
You died for my
sins.
And
I receive you as the Lord of my life.
And I receive you as the Lord of my life.
Amen. Let's give a big hand. Now listen, if you are here in this building and you prayed that prayer, we encourage you to come see our altar team that's right over here to my right, your left. If you are online, we just ask you that you would send your name, just type your name at prayer@flctampa.org, and we will send you information about the choice that you've made today. Listen, if you're online, we welcome you to share this message, also to come back next week. God bless you. We're so glad you've been with us. If you are here in this building, our healing team is over here to my left, your right. If you need healing for your physical body, once the service is dismissed, make your way over there and they'll be happy to pray with you. But right now, if you'll stand up, I'm going to close you with the prayer and we'll see you at the front door. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we've had today to be together in your presence, and because we have been, we don't leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed.